Well, amen. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us. If you're saved, He's forgiven sins of the past, the present, and all that you will commit in the future. Are you glad about that? Amen. You see, the thing about it is what hadn't dawned on us yet is that when Jesus died, all of our sins were in the future. And yet He was still willing to die for you and me. Looking down through the eons of time and saw what you and I would be involved in, and yet He was still willing to die. So when He said, "It is finished," it was finished for you just like it was for me. And salvation is available for all who will call upon Him. And I hope that you will today. Take your Bible, two passages of Scripture this morning. Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 10, and Revelation in the New chapter, in the New Testament, chapter number 1. Daniel 10 and Revelation chapter number 1. We're going to look at a parallel here between these two scriptures. Daniel chapter 10 and Revelation chapter number 1. Would you stand out of love and respect for the reading of the Word of God this morning? Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. Now we're going to read about this man again here in just a moment. But whoever this man saw in Daniel 10 is the same guy John saw in Revelation chapter 1. Now I want you to notice there's a span of hundreds of years in between the two, yet they saw the same guy. Now I want you to notice what Daniel saw. He said, "I saw a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold as Euphus. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning." Now I want you to notice this. "And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quakening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." Well, of course, they didn't see anything. They just heard a voice. They heard talking. "Therefore," verse number 8, "I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me." And that's what's going to happen to all of us when we see God. "There is no strength," he said, "remained in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." Almost sounds like it was such an powerful experience that he fell on his face before whoever this certain man was. Now, I want you to take your Bible, go to Revelation 1, and I want you to follow along beginning in verse number 10. Now, this is the Apostle John, the Apostle who walked with Jesus for nearly 3.5 years. And he is now exiled to the Isle of Patmos to live there and die as an exile because of his preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Verse 10, Revelation 1. John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying," now listen to what the voice says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. This kind of sounds like the same guy, right? His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Now look at verse 14. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Stop. Is this the same eyes that Daniel saw hundreds of years before? So whoever's face they're looking into, it's the same person that they're looking into. It said his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, we've read Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, and Revelation 1, verses 10 through 15. Both Daniel and the Apostle John saw the same person hundreds and hundreds of years apart. I'm here to tell you, that person that they're talking about here is Alpha Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You say, who's that? None other than Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, what's he doing in the Old Testament? Because he is God. You cannot be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, without being God incarnate. And there he appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 and now in Revelation chapter 1. But what I want to draw your attention to is what they saw. One aspect, don't have time to cover all of them. One thing I want you to notice that they saw the eyes. And the eyes were as a flame of fire. I want to take these verses this morning, and here's what I want to preach to you about this morning. The day you and I have to look God in the eye. The day you and I have to look God in the eye. Father, would you bless us now and open our hearts to what you would have for us. We do pray that you'd manifest yourself in this service today, and that, Father, that we would literally take to heart what you want to say to our hearts. Would you open us, our heart and our spirit up to receive the word this morning? Change lives, we pray. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is for most people to maintain eye contact with someone? You ever been in a restaurant, or you've been maybe in a conversation that you're carrying on with somebody? You ever notice that somebody can usually only make contact for just a few seconds eye to eye, and then they look away? You ever notice that? Because the eyes communicate. Many times you'll see people who are up to no good. One of the things they'll do is they'll cover their eyes. Why? Because the eyes are an identification. I remember as a young boy, many times my dad would pull me aside. And he'd say, son, I want you to look at me in the eye and tell me the truth. Now, he knew that if I couldn't look him in the eye and I kept looking away, I was probably not telling the truth, right? So what he made me do was to look at him where? In the eye. Because the eye is a form of communication. You know how I know that? Friday night, I performed a wedding here. I saw a young man and a young woman looking into each other's eyes. Now, they didn't say anything, but you know what? I saw what they were communicating. They were communicating as they looked at each other. They were communicating deep love and compassion and desire for one another. You know, many times people will want to know if you're speaking the truth. They'll ask you to look in their eye, or a young couple, if they want to confer upon each other their deepest and sincere love, they'll look at each other in the eye. Those who want to communicate, look each other in the eye. Two men, Daniel and the Apostle John, both described the same person. And I want you to notice that both of them called attention to the eyes. Now, they called attention to the other, to the garments. One, John, called attention to the hair of him that he saw. But both of them called attention to the eyes. Now, listen, both of them saw the same thing in his eyes. They saw his eyes as a flame of fire. Now, we know that fire in the Bible is nothing more than a sign or an example of judgment. It's an example of examination. It's an illustration of examination in our lives. And listen, you know what he's saying? He's saying that one day, folks, we're going to look into the eyes and we're going to make eye contact with God. And when we stand before him one day, you will make contact with the eyes of God. He's going to say, look at me in my eye and tell me why you rejected my son. Look at me and tell me why you rejected my commandments and decided to live a life of your own volition. Tell me why I provided for you and you set the things that I provided for you aside. Listen to me. Everybody in here one day, you will look in the eyes of God. And you know what you'll see? You'll see the same thing Daniel saw. You'll see the same thing that John saw. You'll see eyes as a flame of fire that will pierce even to your soul. And you will not escape the eyes of God. You see, some of us, when we're out, you know, you're minding your own business. Do you ever feel when people are looking at you? Can you feel that? You ever feel when people are staring at you? You think, man, I think somebody's looking at me. And you look around, and to try to make contact with what you believe someone is looking at you. Listen, folks, I'm here to tell you, someone is watching you. Someone is staring at you this morning. You know who it is? It's the same person Daniel saw. It's the same person the apostles saw. It's Jesus. And he's looking this morning at you and I. Some, he's looking, examining the heart, the life, the soul. I'm here to tell you this morning that all of us one day will look into the eyes of God. And if you and I today would stop just for a moment and through our mind's eye look into the eyes of the Savior and look into the eyes of Jesus this morning and stare deeply into His eyes, I think you'll see some things this morning. You say, but you said I'll see a flame of fire. Oh yeah, you'll see a flame of fire. But may I say this morning, if you look deeply into the eyes of Jesus, you'll also see sovereign eyes. You'll see sovereign eyes, supreme eyes, the eyes of the Creator. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16 says, which in His time He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That means power to rule over. Remember Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says He's the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know why? Because they're sovereign eyes. One day you and I will look into the eyes of the Creator. The eyes of the one who created everything, listen now, and holds everything in place. Do you realize that God is holding the stars in place? God is holding the planets in place? God has got just the right mixture of oxygen and nitrogen and all those other things that's required for us to live. He's got all of those mixed together at the right proportion one to another so that we could live. One day you're going to look into the eyes of the Creator. We're going to look into the eyes of the one, the Scripture, who calls all in all. He's everything to you and I. We're going to look into the eyes of the one who is the beginning and the ending. Now listen, you mean to blow your mind? Sometimes sit back in your recliner, kick that thing back in about third gear. Lay your head back, close your eyes, and then try to get your mind to comprehend God. Try to get your mind to comprehend one who had no beginning and no ending. And I mean, I want you to put a lot of thought into it because what you're going to need next is you're going to need some Tylenol. Because your mind is going to search through everything it's ever experienced. Your mind is going to search through time. It's going to search through life. It's going to search through experiences. And you know what it's going to come back and say? Cannot compute. Why? Because your mind cannot comprehend that which has no beginning and no ending. And yet one day, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make eye contact with Him with sovereign eyes. You're going to make eye contact with the one that created all things. But if we'll look a little bit deeper this morning, not only will we see sovereign eyes, listen now, we'll see supernatural eyes. We'll see supernatural eyes, miraculous eyes. Nothing is limited to Him. Nothing in nature, nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. Nothing will he be faced with that will limit him to do anything he desires. You see, those supernatural eyes, Mark 10, verse 27, it says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Now think about this. Do you know when one day when you look into those supernatural eyes, it'll be the same eyes that looked on a Red Sea one day? When the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming to them, and they said, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" God says, "Don't worry, I've got it all under control." It was the same eyes that looked down upon that Red Sea and split that Red Sea so the children of Israel could go across. Same eyes. May I remind you that it will be the same eyes that looked down one day and saw a young lad named David facing a champion named Goliath. He looked at him and he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a shield." He said, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord." See, it was the same eyes that when that little shepherd boy took that rock and slung it in his sling and threw it toward that giant, God said, "I'll take that." And he took that right down and popped that giant right between the eyes. Down he went. You know what? Same eyes. Same eyes that split the Red Sea and saw it that day are the same eyes that saw Goliath fall in that day. Listen to me. It's also the same eyes that saw the blind, the deaf, the lame, the sick, the hurting, the grieved, and did something about it. You know what? It was the same eyes that was born to a little virgin girl by the name of Mary one day. And there he grew. And for 33 and a half years, he existed on this earth as God incarnate. And there the scripture says he went about doing good. And when he saw the deaf and he saw the blind, he saw the dead. Oh boy, he raised several people from the dead. You see, it's the same supernatural eyes. Now listen to me. Do you need a supernatural miracle in your life? Do you need those same supernatural eyes to see your condition and your situation and do something about it? One of these days, we're going to look into those eyes that are a flame of fire. You know what they are? They're sovereign eyes. But you know, if we'll look a little bit deeper, you know what else we'll see? We'll see supernatural eyes. I want to say next that if you'll look a little deeper, you'll see sacred eyes. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy," listen now, "in all manner of conversation." He didn't say that we get to pick and choose what areas of our life that we're to be holy and separated and devoted in. He says we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because he's holy. We're to be holy in our separation from the world. Listen, we're to live a holy life in consecration to Him because of what He's done for us. We're to live a holy life in preparation, in dedication, in communication, and in proclamation. You see, the thing about it is we ought to proclaim that He's holy. One of these days when we see Him face to face and we look in those sovereign eyes and we look in those supernatural eyes, hey, listen, we're going to one day look into those eyes and they're going to be sacred eyes. And there the scripture says, on that day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. To the glory of the Father. You see, you and I, one day, when we see those sovereign eyes, those supernatural eyes, those sacred eyes, listen, Daniel couldn't stand up and John couldn't stand up and neither will you. You will and I will bow as we look into those sacred eyes, those devoted eyes. Can I say next that if we'll look a little deeper, we'll not only see the sovereign eyes, we'll not only see supernatural eyes, will not only see sacred and holy eyes, but may I remind you that we'll also look into those eyes and we'll see sentimental eyes. Take your Bible, if you would, for just a moment. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Everybody in here love your mama? I said, everybody in here love your mama? Do you know Jesus didn't forget his mama while he was on the cross? Look a little deeper. You know what you'll see? You'll see sentimental eyes. John chapter 19. Are you there? Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, look, here's mother. Let me tell you something. This doesn't have anything to do with the message. Let me tell you something. You better thank God for mama. Because listen to me, a lot of times when us daddies get a little rough, mama stand by your side. Mama will be there. Mama will be there to help you and pray for you. It hears Jesus on the cross. She had seen him beaten. She had seen a crown of thorns placed upon his head. She had seen his beard ripped out of his face. And there he hangs as nothing more than human carnage on the cross. And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. He was making reference to John. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple, John, the same one that told us when he looked, he saw the flame, his eyes as a flame of fire. You see, the thing about it is he saw him on the cross, and now he sees him again in Patmos in his glorified condition. And there, his eyes now are a flame of fire. When they were on the cross, they were sentimental eyes, made reference to his mother. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, the scripture says, Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. You know what that is? That's sentimental eyes. That's the heart of a parent when they look to see their child that's being disturbed, or they look and see their child in anguish and they want to do something to go and care for that child. Many times our kids, they'll be out playing and we hear a blood-curdling scream, right? And boy, I'm telling you, parents will jump up and they run out there and the kid's sitting in the driveway, and screaming bloody murder. You say, what's wrong? I fell off my back. Oh, I fell off my back. You say, what's wrong? I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding. You're like, well, move your hand. And you move your hand and there's a little scratch. About like that. And they're like, oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, it hurts. Daddy, will you kiss? And listen to me. As a parent, I've kissed many a scratches. You mean to gross you out? I've kissed scabs. Daddy, it hurts. Yeah, but it's scabbed over. But will you kiss it? It'll feel better. Put me some chapstick on. Now listen. Do you realize that that's what the Father wants to do for you? Do you know that He said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? You see, this morning, some of you has, as my granddaughter calls them, bobos in life. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to kiss that bobo. He wants to help you. Why? Because they're sentimentalized. John chapter 13, verse number 1. The scripture says, speaking of Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them, listen now, unto the end. He loved them unto the end. May I remind you, in John chapter 3, one night, a voice came and said, Master, Rabbi, can I have a word with you? Jesus turned to look, and it was a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he took Nicodemus aside and said, yeah, what can I do for you? And Nicodemus looked into those sentimental eyes. And you know what he said? Those sentimental eyes looked at him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May I remind you that that night, Nicodemus' life was transformed. He was a Pharisee. He was of the group that had mocked the Lord and was responsible for putting him on the cross. And yet that night, Nicodemus experienced the sentimental saving eyes of God Almighty. May I remind you in John chapter 8 that Jesus was there, and those same Pharisees brought a woman, they say, was caught in the very act of adultery. And they cast her down at Jesus' feet. They said, hey, if you be the Son of God, if you're supposed to be the Savior of the world, you're supposed to be the one that knows everything. We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What are we supposed to do with her? I like this because Jesus ignored them. And he took his finger and he wrote in the sand. You say, what did he write? I don't know. But when you look into those eyes, you can ask him. Because they know what he wrote. And so he wrote in the sand. And then he looked up and he just simply said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Did you know those Pharisees that once wanted to stone that adulterous woman to death didn't? You know why? Because they couldn't do it because they knew they had sin in their own life. And as they dropped their rocks and walked away, Jesus looked down at that adulterous woman. He says, woman, where are thine accusers? I don't know, Lord, they're gone. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, when that adulterous woman looked up from the ground, she may have been on her face, but when she looked up, listen to me, and she looked into those flaming eyes, you know what she saw? She saw sentimental eyes. She saw eyes of forgiveness. She saw long-suffering eyes. You see, those sentimental eyes saved Nicodemus. They forgave the woman caught in the very act of adultery. I could go on, but you can read in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. You say, what was her issue? Well, Jesus said, listen, you've had five husbands. The guy you're living with is not even your husband. Now listen, she said, well, I wonder how he knew that. So you know what she does? She runs into town and she says, listen, come see a man that's told me all things I've ever done. Now wait a minute, he didn't tell her all things that she'd ever done. But he did know what sin she was involved in. Now listen, here's what she put two and two together. If he knew that sin, then he has to know them all. If he knew that without me communicating, then he has to know everything. And you know what he told her? He said, you come today to get this water. He said, you drink this water, you'll thirst again. He said, but if you drink of the water that I shall give thee, you will never thirst again because it's living water. Let me give you one more illustration here. Luke 22. Jesus now has already been condemned to be crucified. There his apostles have all fled. Peter's been watching. He's been watching this whole thing. He's been going from pylon to pylon, bush to bush, crowd to crowd. Finally, he got in one crowd and they said, hey, didn't we see you out there with Jesus? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know the man. And then another said, oh, no, you were with him. You talk like him. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know who he is. Finally, a third time, remember? He denied Jesus a third time. He says, I don't know what is it. And by the way, to put an exclamation point so that they would know he didn't know him, he cussed. He said, oh, an apostle cussed. Yeah, Christians cuss too. Now they ought not, but they do. And he put an exclamation point on it so he could kind of prove that he wasn't with them. And listen, and about that time, you know what he heard? He didn't hear a dog bark. Didn't hear a kitty cat. He heard the rooster crow. You ever heard a rooster crow? I love hearing rooster crow. Amen, Brother Ellis? I like to hear a rooster crow. But this night when the rooster crowed, Peter had denied the Lord three times. And in Luke chapter 22, we have there that when he had denied the Lord, he was there and he looked up and guess whose eyes he made contact with? Come on, help me out. Who did he make eye contact with? He made eye contact with Jesus. And listen, it was so powerful when he made contact with those sentimental, forgiving, loving eyes. The scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. And it brought him to a place of repentance in his life. They're sentimental eyes. Let me give you another one. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Quickly, go to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. I said that they are sovereign eyes. They're supernatural eyes. They're sacred eyes. They're sentimental eyes. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Remember, God, the Lord had told John, he said, whatever you write, I want you to write and send them to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Or in Asia. And then he says in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Thyatira. Are you there? Verse 23. Revelation 2. I want you to look, if you would. He says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Did you notice? He says, I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. Listen, here's the next one. If you look real deep, you'll see sovereign eyes, supernatural eyes, sacred eyes, sentimental eyes. But listen, you'll see searching eyes. They're always looking. Always looking. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Job put it this way in Job 34, in verse number 21. He says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. You say, well, those searching eyes, what are they searching for? Well, first of all, they're searching for something. They're searching for something. You know, the scripture says, God says that when he returns to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for something. He's looking for a group of people that actually were willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ, for his will. He's searching for something. Wait a minute, he's searching for someone. This morning, those eyes are moving across this auditorium, and he's looking, and by the way, he knows the condition of your soul. He knows whether you're a born-again believer or not. He knows whether you've been saved or not. He's looking for someone this morning, and it may be you. Those eyes are looking in deeply into your soul, and he's looking, and he's asking, would you come? Would you come? So not only is he looking for something, not only is he looking for someone, listen, he's looking for some place. He's looking for hearts. He's looking for churches. He's looking for places to put his favor. Hebrews 4 and verse number 13, the scripture says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You're going to make eye contact with God. And you and I will look into his eye one day. We'll see sovereign eyes. We'll see supernatural eyes, sacred eyes, sentimental eyes, searching eyes. Listen, he's searching this morning for Christians who are willing to go the extra mile. He's looking for Christians this morning who are willing to do something over and above what they're doing. Well, let me give you one more and I'm done. They're serious eyes. Yeah, God's serious about this. Matter of fact, so serious, it's heaven and hell. Okay, that's how serious this is. He's serious about your soul. He wants you to be saved. So serious that he came to this earth incarnate in human flesh in Jesus Christ and died so that you and I could be saved. There's serious eyes about soul. Amos chapter 4 and verse number 12, God speaking to Israel, he said, listen, you've turned against me. You've turned away from my ways. And he made this statement, prepare to meet thy God. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 1. Speaking of Hezekiah, he told Hezekiah, he said, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And folks, listen, we will not escape the eye of God. They're serious about souls. Listen, they're serious about service. So serious about serving Him is that one day, those of us that are believers will stand before what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will be judged according to our works, whether they be good or bad. He's serious. He's serious about souls so much He's willing to save anyone who will come. He's serious about service. But can I say lastly, He's dead serious about sin. He's serious about sin. What's sin? It's the transgression of the law. Sin is knowing something is wrong and doing it anyway. You see, one day, you and I are going to have no choice but to look God in the eye. And there, those flaming eyes, they're going to pierce our soul, and we will be held accountable for our lives. They're sovereign eyes. You're going to look into the eye of the Creator who holds all things in place, who created everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're going to see supernatural eyes. Same eyes that saw the Red Sea and split. Same eyes that saw David defeat Goliath. Same eyes that healed the dumb, that made the lame to walk again and made the blind to see and raised the dead. Same eyes. They're sacred eyes. We look into those sacred eyes, you know what? We're going to have a lot of regrets. We're going to have a lot of regrets that we didn't do more for Him that did for us. They're going to be sentimental eyes, long-suffering, compassionate, devoted eyes. They're going to be searching eyes. He's searching for something today. He's searching for someone today. He's searching for some place today. But they're serious eyes. He's serious about your soul. If you know not Christ this morning, today's the day. Why? He's serious. So serious, He provided a place for you to go called heaven. Eternal bliss with God. A place of immortality, incorruption, where, listen, Satan can never penetrate again. It's serious, but also so serious that if you neglect Him and turn away from His Son Jesus after He's provided salvation and don't receive Him, it's an eternity without God in hell. He said, well, preacher, I'm not sure if I believe in hell. Well, it doesn't really matter whether we believe in it or not. It's still true. There's still a place. Because God said it was a place. God said it was a place of fire. It was a place of torment. It was a place of darkness, bottomless. And listen, I could go on and say, oh man, that's an awful place. Then come this morning and receive Christ. Never have to experience that. You see, He's serious about souls. He's serious about serving. If you're a Christian this morning, He's serious about your service for Christ. Hey folks, He's got a message. And who is going to deliver the message? We are. We are. He's serious about that. But He's serious about sin. He's serious about sin. So serious about it that He said, if you and I don't do something about it, it will dominate your life. And it will bring you and entangle you again into the affairs of this life. Think about it. Some unto heaven and eternal bliss. Some unto hell and eternal torments. But you know what? One day you and I will have to look God in the eye. It's going to be sovereign eyes. It's going to be supernatural eyes. It's going to be sacred eyes. It's going to be sentimental eyes and searching eyes. But listen, that day it's going to be serious. Serious. Because we're talking about your soul, about your service, and about sin. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. How many would be honest this morning and say, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I've been born into the family of God. No question about it. I remember. I can put my finger on a point in time when I accepted Christ. And you say, I'm happy and proud of it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, I'm not ashamed, preacher. I'm not ashamed. I know those sovereign eyes. I know those supernatural eyes. I know those serious eyes. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask you this morning, would you do something special in this service? I've prayed for these people, though I did not know all that I was praying for. Our church has prayed for this service. Our church has prayed for this message, for this invitation. Would you hear us this morning, Lord God, and answer? Would you show your favor this morning in such a way that you would draw people unto thee? Please move. We ask you in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. This is a very private moment. Please try to limit the moving around, please. I want to ask you something this morning. Some of you this morning couldn't raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian." Some of you couldn't raise your hand and say, "I've been born again." But you'd say, "Preacher, it's not that I don't want to be. I do want to be. It's just that I've never taken time to have someone show me out of the Bible how to be saved." You say, "I want to go to heaven." It's just that I have some doubt about it. I don't know. But at least you'd let me pray for you this morning. Nobody's looking but me. Would you let me know that by slipping your hand up? You say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you. Who will join these two and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. It's not that I don't want to go, preacher. I do. It's just that I've never been saved. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and showed me how to be saved." God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these three? Three have been had enough courage to raise their hand. Would you join them? God bless you. Who will be the next? Who will be the fourth one? There's a four. I said, who will be the fifth one? Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." We're talking about your soul. Those souls. Look deeply in your mind's eye. Do you see the sentimental eyes? God bless you. There's the fifth one right there. Who will be number six? Are you looking deeply into those sentimental eyes, those searching eyes this morning? Look. Look. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." Anybody else? All right. God bless you. There's a sixth one right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Then I wonder if there might be some others here this morning. Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved. I've never been baptized. After I got saved, I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high, and I'll pray for you. Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. It's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the right thing to do." All right. God bless you. You can slip your hands down. One last thing. How many would this morning, you say, "Preacher, I am a Christian, but it's been a long time since I've looked directly into the eyes of the Savior. It's been a long time since I've looked into those examining eyes. It's been a long time since I've looked into those eyes and seen myself and my sin and my condition. But today I have, preacher. Please pray for me. I've got to make some changes in my life." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "I'm looking in my mind's eye. I can see it this morning. I'm looking into the eyes and I can see the sentimental eyes. I can see those supernatural eyes. I can see those serious eyes." All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, would you do your work now in this invitation? Thank you for the privilege that we have to serve. One day, Lord, we're going to be forced to look you in the eye. I can hear my dad's voice even as I stand here this morning. "Son, look at me in the eye." And Father, that's what we're going to do one day, whether at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian or some at the great white throne judgment of the lost of all ages. We'll be forced to look you in that eye. Those same flaming eyes that Daniel saw, the same that the apostle saw, we'll also see one day. Would you search the hearts of the people this morning? Do your work, we pray in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? As we